It's just a pleasure to welcome back, Bix. We're a big precious metals aficionado and now a crypto enthusiast as well. He actually caught this trend earlier than most of us out here. He's ahead of us. And it seems like, you know, light bulbs when it comes to cryptos, Bix. Wouldn't you agree? It's just slowly and one by one. But once that bulb lights up, it's bright.
You know, the beginning was not that safe to get into it. There was a lot of changes, a lot of security enhancements on all the cryptos. But now it's clear that there are people behind the scenes, I think, assisting in this transition out of the old system and into something new.
Let's talk about how quickly this has progressed here. Last night I was looking at a portfolio and I'm thinking, well, you know, this thing is only up threefold since September. And then I had to catch myself and say, you're upset because an altcoin's only up three multiples since September. September is like 3 months ago. So let's backtrack 12 months. I was listening to Kaiser Report. He and Stacey Herbert have some great ideas for 2018. They point out, look, Bitcoin was like $900 and then it hit 9,000. So that's a 10X. And then it again up to 20,000. This is the big story. All the detractors keep coming on there, and I've noticed that he started to pull back a little bit and give them a little bit of room and realize, wait a minute, everybody's going to come to this conclusion independently and at their own speed. One of the central banks we predict in 2018 will break free from their colleagues, from their cadre, and get on board the Bitcoin theme. And he says, when that happens, Katie, bar the doors on this thing. Give us an idea just where you think it'll all lead.
Well, a lot of it leads back to my research into the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. The original road to Ruta information that there were people behind the scenes controlling things with computers and derivatives for the good and the bad. So they were trying to maintain the status quo for a very long time. But they also always had a problem. This goes back to 1913, is that how do you go from an unbacked system to a metal system or any other system without causing major chaos, death, and destruction? Because when the monetary system breaks down, everybody loses everything. And that was the big problem why silver and gold could not break free. It was not allowed to break free, especially when computers and derivatives came in. And the last attempt was 2008. And now, after 2008 failed and they bailed out the banks again, right away Satoshi Nakamoto, supposedly, whoever he is or they are, came out with the Bitcoin white paper. And that Bitcoin white paper showed people that there was another way. And we've been in this transition for a while now, and safe in the beginning, but it's becoming more and more safe. As more problems come up, they get fixed. It's anti-fragile, meaning every time it breaks, it gets fixed, and that problem never happens again.
You know, it's well said, and I can attest to your comments on Satoshi Nakamoto's seven-page paper, roughly, give or take there. I mean, that was a big eye-opener for me. I still feel like I was kind of slow to this because I think, like many of us, I had an interest and then it waned, and an interest again and then it waned. I'm sure so many folks can relate to it. And so when I read his paper, and, you know, was at the time I was a student of mathematics and statistics and probability theory, and so I said, wait a minute. This is a solution to the trust issue. This is why we've needed, or we think we've needed, these third-party institutions, right, Bix, for so long to take care of our transaction, our mortgages, because we needed a third party. We needed a ledger accounting system where this arbitrator in the center says, look, A is borrowing from B and B has borrowed from A. Okay, and we're going to be the referee of this transaction. What Satoshi did, as we all know now, you know, said, look, we can do this mathematically. We don't need a third party anymore. And we can not only get around that issue, but we can get around the security issue by having a high enough hash rate, i.e. a proof of work, if you will, through mining processes to make sure that the nodes have a consensus. So we have security through consensus. We have decentralization, right? And so everybody agrees. Everybody gets on board. And what I found interesting is you might have heard Antonopoulos, you know, the Andreas Antonopoulos, right? Yeah, he's the best, right? He said, yes, we hear all the time of how it could be hacked. And he said, yes, it could. But it would take the combined computing power of the United States government and several billion dollars to mine and break down the blockchain for just a few minutes and make maybe a few Bitcoin or something. And he said, it's not economically feasible. Why not just use that same computing power to mine Bitcoin and make trillions of dollars? It was his point. So it's a remarkably robust system. Moving on, give us an idea of what you see for 2018. Every year, we've seen exponential growth in the number of pundits calling for the end of Bitcoin.
Yeah, according to my analysis of it, for a long time, they were looking for a way to get out of the old system. They knew how corrupt it was. They, meaning Federal Reserve, the Treasury, people literally, good guys within the system. And they couldn't find a way to do it because every solution went back to gold and silver. And the gold and silver was so concentrated in the hands of these banksters and the banks, it didn't make sense to give them the power back. So they decided, hey, we've been working on this cryptography type of currency for the past 30 years, going back to the 70s and 80s when the original computer programs were written for our financial system by Alan Greenspan. This can work. We can do this, but we're going to have to get it into the hands of the people. We don't want it concentrated into a small group of people because that was our problem with gold and silver. So if we can spread it out, you know, they make hiccups happen all the time. When it gets too concentrated, they'll take people out. The Mt. Gox thing was not a hack. It was one of the exchanges that rehypothecates cryptos just like they do in the stock exchange and the comics and all that. People were taking out their cryptos, so they obviously had to shut their doors because you look at the volumes and they're not trading real cryptos in these exchanges. There's all kinds of things going on that are being orchestrated by the Fed and the Treasury to get us out of the old system into a new system without destroying what we've built in our country, without harming the people who are absolutely dependent upon the monetary system working for their food, for their water, for their power, for everything. This is a way to transition out. So that's why I see 2018. We're going to be transitioning out of the old system and into this new cryptography-based monetary system. And with that comes a way to go around the COMEX and the LBMA.
Firstly, hat tip for being the one who recognized that Sir Alan Greenspan, you might say, created the first crypto, although that's kind of not really a crypto, but the first software money, and he did so for the Federal Reserve. And what's so ironic here is he let maybe the genie out of the bottle. And now, of course, you take that formula, that algorithm, you tie it to the blockchain. Transparency will be brought to these precious metals markets. Clearly, the powers that be haven't even quite woken up to this yet. The day of reckoning for the manipulation has gone from maybe it could have been 5 to 10 years from now. It's got to be just around the corner, and you seem to think that 2018 might be the year.
I can tell you this. The cryptos have the ability to free the metals in that they can inject truth and honesty into exchanges. That's exactly what's being done with Veritasium, which is Reggie Middleton's way of injecting truth and honesty into the Jamaican Stock Exchange. He's right on the brink of announcing a deal with them. He's working with the German Stock Exchange. And this doesn't get implemented into the exchange. It takes everything out of the exchange and allows people to deal on a peer-to-peer basis. So there's no brokers, dealers, no DTCC, no criminal banks. Nobody in between the transaction, hey, I have a share to sell or a piece of metal to sell, and you have cash to give me, we can deal person to person, peer to peer.
The DTCC is this sort of ominous shadow entity that supposedly controls essentially every share that's ever been issued on the exchanges of the United States. So you really, just like your mortgage, you don't own your house, you know, and even if you hold your mortgage, you still don't own your home. Same thing with your shares that you think you have equity in. Fast forward to Bix's point here. You can go to Ether Delta today and you can, on your Ledger S, plug it into your laptop or your iPhone or Android. You can trade from one peer to another person directly, bypassing the exchange altogether. Pull that Ledger X out. You are your brokerage, your clearinghouse, your market maker, and your bank all in one.
Absolutely. And that's what the cryptos will be providing, one of the services, because the blockchain is a trust machine. And that's what we need injected, especially the next time these bankers break down, and they will break down again. You know, you got Steve Mnuchin, who is the head of IT for Goldman Sachs, controlling all markets right now. But at some point, the bankers are going to need another bailout, and we're going to be able to say, no, we have a new system that's ready to go, peer-to-peer transactions. We don't need Goldman Sachs. We don't need JP Morgan. We don't need anybody, and we can be our own bank. and that is going to shock them to their core. It kind of already is, but it's really going to come into play the next time they can write too many derivatives and one of those derivative bombs goes bad, just like in 2008.
We see a petri dish of this playing out, don't we, in Venezuela right now? It's happening right now in real time. These people, God bless them. I mean, they're starving. There are no jobs. You have runaway inflation, maybe not quite hyperinflation, but when I look at the chart of gold, is up something like 100-fold in terms of the Bolivar. You have to go look at the charts up for it. I'll post them with this interview. The people who are lucky enough to get some ASIC miners, some ant miners from Bitmain and Beijing, are literally surviving off of mining for Bitcoin. Ari David Paul, money manager who managed big pension funds. He was the one you may have seen on CNBC and a few of the other channels recently who made the big $1 million bet that Bitcoin was going to 50,000, big options call. And of course, he made it clear, look, I'm not really making a bet. All I'm trying to do is reduce my exposure because Bitcoin is so volatile that I can simply buy some calls and get 30 to 1 if it hits 100,000 to 150,000. He says, look, I've been in this industry for over a decade. The institutional money, pension funds, and the endowment funds are only starting to move in because they don't have the third parties that they need to make this happen yet. February of this year and running into the summer, the institutional money will pour in all the way till December of the end of 2018. And he says, now, if you want to worry about a bubble, talk to me about a bubble at the end of next year. What do you think?
It's like filling Dixie cups with a fire hose right now. All these people want in. All the longtime crypto holders now are saying, now is when I hold on the tightest. So they're gonna try to come in and buy. They're gonna create a lot of FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and try to shake people out of their hands. But truthfully, we've been hardened. We've been hardened to volatility. So when you have everybody come in to buy and the people who really understand it not willing to let go of any of their cryptos, the ingredients for a huge price explosion.
I couldn't have said any better. Even if we didn't have another 2017-style year, 5X this year or 2X, that sure beats anything we've seen in any other market that I saw this year. Why don't we just do a quick little overview of your thoughts on silver, because I'd be remiss if I didn't give you the floor. Do you see some Bitcoin-style profits ahead for the precious metals, and why?
I do for silver. I don't necessarily for gold. Mainly for silver because we are moving into a high-tech world, and that silver is going to be needed on the industrial side, absolutely. There's all kinds of hidden technologies that are going to get with this changing of the guards, shall we say. So, but it won't happen until the criminality of the exchanges is shut down. Right now, J.P. Morgan and Citibank control all the futures options, and that's all there really is, truthfully, in silver. There's only futures and options. There's no physical metal exchange. They say the LBMA is, but we can tell by the volumes of 100 billion ounces a year that it's not a physical exchange. See, this year, the cryptos will come in to assist the gold and silver guys to free up their market into a peer-to-peer type exchange. I don't know which one will be the winning crypto in that world, but do see where there's a need, a crypto company will provide a solution, and that's exactly what's coming for silver and gold this year. The biggest problem I see with gold is there's just so much of it that they're hiding and nobody really knows what it's worth. And it's held by such a tiny few people. You don't need gold in a situation where you believe in the currency. And I truly believe in the cryptography and that 2 + 2 will always equal 4 in the crypto. So we'll see what happens for gold. But definitely silver should break free.
The only cloud I see on the horizon, as far as you talking about the security and the encryption aspects, which is so great that you get it too, because like you said, it's so hard for me to find peers and colleagues who are enthusiastic. I spend most of my time just trying to screw the light bulb in for most people, let alone turning it on. But the only shadow I see on the horizon, and I don't think it's anything major, quantum computing involving qubits. It would be very easy for a quantum computer if you focused all of its energy on breaking, you know, the encryption of Bitcoin. But my feeling there is that really you'd only be able to do one wallet at a time. They'll put it in a paper wallet and or they'll just transfer it into, you know, something that doesn't require proof of work, maybe something, a non-mineable crypto.
Yeah, I mean, my comment would be a couple-fold. One, I talked to Cliff High about this, and he's done work in quantum computing, and he said it's a long way away, but it's also a situation where Bitcoin isn't the only cryptocurrency. It has been, ever since kind of the fight between SegWit and the core developers and all that, people have opened their eyes to a whole new world of different currencies and different tokens, especially. And the tokenization of a company or an asset within a company is kind of like barter, which is a better form of exchange than using money. So I think Bitcoin was the first, but I don't think at all that it's going to be the last, or even necessarily is going to come out on top at the end.
It has the first mover advantage. It has clearly the world's best developers. It also has much, much needed, and I think ignored and maligned infrastructure. People don't think about the fact this is the world's greatest supercomputer that we're involved in. We don't know which will be the victorious. We hope that Bitcoin is the Amazon, right? Circa 1996, 1997, right?
I don't own much Bitcoin at all, and I'm not a gigantic fan of the type of Bitcoin hoarding type of thing for value. I'm more into the companies creating products with cryptocurrencies, crypto tokens. I think there's much more potential there for humanity to embrace that than, you know, a few thousand people hoarding all their wealth in Bitcoin.
Now, you make a good point. I know that you've been quite a proponent of SALT, and I've had several on the phone. We're still trying to get an interview together, but it's this stage in their development.
Because they're a bridge between the old way of banking and the new crypto world.
It allows folks who are hodling their Bitcoin and other tokens, but primarily Bitcoin, to, of course, leverage that up. They treat it as an asset, and they have a really neat process. I actually quizzed the developers on this over the phone. They have a very neat algorithm that instead of you getting, you know, being worried about a margin call all the time, you know, I can't sleep tonight, you know, is Bitcoin going up or is it going down? Am I tokens? No, no, no. They just slice it. They take little slices out automatically. So, you know, you don't have this terrible liquidation fear that others might have.
That's a good way to do it. But another way to look at it is for a bank to repossess a house is horrible on many fronts. It's also very costly. If you have someone who has a cryptocurrency used as collateral and all the parameters are set forth in the smart contract, it's very easy to do, and the banks perfect their collateral automatically. And banks love it. The crypto people love it because it's not based on your credit rating or how good the system thinks you are. It's based on your collateral. And yeah, it's a great invention, and it's going to change the world of banking.
And it really gives folks who are believers in the whole crypto domain, the cryptosphere, more versatility. It creates utility, creates value, I think, throughout the entire space. As we wrap up here, one last quick comment. Max Keiser, I think, came up with an interesting scenario. He's looking for 2,400 gold, but he doesn't share your outlook on the yellow metal. He believes they've got a big pile of prophets who have picked up on this Bitcoin thing, and so they're going to turn to gold as Bitcoin 2.0. You know, everyone's been talking about Bitcoin as gold 2.0. Well, he thinks the young crowd will say, wouldn't this be retro of me to sell a tenth of a Bitcoin and buy an ounce of gold?
Yes, it absolutely makes sense, but because these people are smarter, they're going to look at silver right next door to gold with many of the same properties. Plus, you get the industrial aspect of it. Plus, it's massively undervalued compared to the amount pulled out of the ground. There's so many pluses. And when you look at gold and understand gold as a monetary instrument, it naturally feeds you right to silver. And why would I buy gold when silver has 100 times more potential for increasing in value than gold?
In the past, you've mentioned that silver might just approach 1-to-1. And, you know, you make a great case for it.
The easiest case is that there's this equal amounts of each above ground right now, about 6 billion ounces. So that right off the top of the bat says, okay, there's something wrong with the pricing mechanism right now. Plus, silver is a massive industrial metal. I mean, it's used in everything from solar panels to the new energy technologies that are coming down the line to the new batteries that are going to be powering our cars. So absolutely, you can make 1,000 different cases for the 1-to-1 ratio with silver and gold. But right now, it's so ridiculous. It's, what, 75-to-1?
I've got another bullet point for you. Was reading through the World Gold Council. They noted, and this is, I think, a direct quote, there is twice as much gold above ground reserve stockpiles than there is silver per. I didn't say industrial. investment purposes than gold. So that's just one more bullet to add to your impressive list.
And it all stems from the manipulation of price of both, because both are completely manipulated. Both are prices we see are not the real value, not the fair market value based on a true exchange. The price that the bankers want you to understand is the price of gold and is the price of silver to keep the old system.
Well, good luck with that scheme, fellas, because there's a new sheriff in town and it wears a crypto badge of transparency. All right, Bixweir, tell folks more about, how they can find out your great stuff online and any contact information, please.
Go to roadtoruda.com and sign up for free emails. I'm doing a lot of videos these days about the cryptos because there's so much to learn, but I'm also talking about silver and the coming transition out of the old system.
Exactly. Look for the guy with the cool hats. Bixweir, Happy New Year.
Absolutely.